All right, having opened with prayer, let's now begin our study this evening. And we turn now to the Confession of Faith, Chapter 12. The Confession of Faith, Chapter 12, as we study God's Word with the aid of this most helpful and most biblical statement of faith. You'll recall that we've just studied in depth the biblical doctrine of justification, that God justifies the ungodly. And how does he do this? He does this by imputing the righteousness of Jesus Christ to us, so that though we have sinned, yet we stand righteous before God and are thus entitled, because of Christ's work, to everlasting life. Now, chapter 12 is the chapter that is entitled of adoption. Adoption, that other great mother grace, so very precious and glorious. What manner of love the Father has given to us that we should be called the sons of God. Well, let us read this short chapter. Now, there is but one paragraph, and yet what a paragraph it is. And interestingly, as an aside, as I understand, there really is no other confession of faith that actually takes up this doctrine into a complete chapter or an article, as does the Confession of Faith of Westminster. Well, this is what they write. All those that are justified, God vouchsafeth in and for his only Son, Jesus Christ, to make partakers of the grace of adoption, by which they are taken into the number, and enjoy the liberties and privileges of the children of God. Have his name put upon them, receive the spirit of adoption, have access to the throne of grace with boldness, are enabled to cry, Abba, Father, are pitied, protected, provided for, and chastened by him as by a father, yet never cast off, but sealed to the day of redemption, and inherit the promises as heirs of everlasting salvation. So, remember the golden chain, that all those whom God has predestined, he has also called. All those whom he has called, he justifies. And whom he justifies, then he also glorifies. And so we encounter that same language of an unbreakable chain. Each link is so solid, so firm, so full of mass and of substance that it cannot be broken. And so all those who are justified, God vouchsafes, he guarantees in and for his only Son, Jesus Christ, to be made partakers of the grace of adoption. There's no slippage. Everyone who believes is justified, and everyone who is justified is, at that point, a son, a daughter of God. Ephesians 1:5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Observe how just as election is not election apart from Christ, it is only that we are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, so also adoption. We are predestined unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. We become sons and daughters because from all eternity we are predestined to become sons and daughters through the Son of God. And what exactly is the essence of what adoption is? Well, these sinners who are justified, are taken into the number and enjoy the liberties and the privileges of the children of God. Well, numbers count, or perhaps more to the point, we count numbers. We often, do we not, have to select and identify certain things that belong to this category and not that. Perhaps the family, the mother discovers that she is pregnant. Well, there will be a new addition to the family. So it's not just a kind of dry accounting of numbers that we are envisioning here. It is a being actually included into the circle, into the category of the family of God. Whereas before, we are not counted as God's children. No. In fact, the Bible tells us that by nature, we are children of wrath. We're on that side of the equation, not on the side of salvation. We are counted among those who are under wrath, who are enemies of God. We are of that number. Abraham is not our father by nature, no, but the devil is our father. We are counted in his family. We belong to Satan. We belong to this dominion of sin and death. Or to think in terms of what we were preaching on, boys and girls, this description of the two great cities, those fortresses, one of the church of God built upon the rock, in which there is forgiveness and salvation and life, and the other, that dark fortress of evil, sin, and of death. We're in either the one or the other. We are numbered either in the city of God, or we are numbered in the city of man and the city of destruction. But when we believe, not from any works of righteousness which we have done, we can't earn our acceptance. We can't earn a position within the family of God, but by grace we're taken into the number. And so we enjoy the liberties and privileges of the children of God. Because truly, you can't enjoy those liberties, those freedoms, those privileges, without legally being a part of the family. Notice Galatians 4:4-5. We've come to this text before, and it's a text that is very full and overflowing with glorious gospel matter. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, his natural, only begotten son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Notice, God sends his son that we might become sons. And once again, all our graces are traceable back to the fountainhead of Jesus Christ. Romans 8:17. If we are children, then we are heirs. We have a title to all the benefits of heavenly glory. We didn't earn it. No, the Lord Jesus Christ earned it for us. But once we are adopted, we are entitled. If children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. There again, our adoption is only contemplated in and through Jesus Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Will he be glorified? So we shall be as well. John 1:12. But as many as received him, remember again what saving faith is. Receiving and resting upon Christ alone for salvation. Well, once we receive him, well, then we receive this blessing of adoption. As many as received him. Notice the golden chain. Each and every one, head for head, whoever receives him, to them gave he power or authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Continuing, the divines indicate that this adoption entails God's placing his name upon them. God's placing his name upon them. It's a legality. It is a matter of law. Before, the orphan is not legally in the family. She is not counted in the family. She is an outcast. Until the documents are signed, until all the forms are properly processed, that child has no legal claim on any of the blessings and benefits of this prospective father and mother. But as soon as they choose, and as soon as they engage and put down oftentimes a hefty sum, that child comes into the number and legally becomes theirs. The name is legally transferred. And that's something very special. Because, you know, an adopted child can very easily look in the mirror and say, you know, I don't look like mom. I don't look like dad. I don't look like brother or sister. And perhaps this brother, this sister won't accept me because I'm not actually from the same mother and the same father. Well, whether or not any of that is true, the parents, they understand this child is every much the child, the son, the daughter of these parents by law. The name is placed upon that child. She is theirs. She belongs. Remember how the Lord speaks so affectionately to those eunuchs that feared God's name and kept his Sabbaths. They felt like they're nothing. They're not included. They are like a withered branch, a fruitless tree. But the Lord says, I will give them a name better than of sons and of daughters. And that's the way it was with the Gentiles, our ancestors. We were not entitled to a seat at the table. We were but dogs. But it pleased the Lord to call those dogs to have a seat next to the children, as it were. He puts his name upon them. Jeremiah 14:9. Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not. Remember that the Hebrews were once adopted. They weren't always God's people. Abraham appears to have been serving false gods with his ancestors on the other side of the river. And the Hebrews, when they were to come and to bring the tribute, the first fruits of their harvest, they were to confess to the priests, beginning with this creed, these words, a Syrian ready to perish was my father. What advantage then hath the Jew, Paul says? Oh, he has many, many advantages. Romans chapter 9. The adoption. Israel is my son, my firstborn. Sadly, so many within Israel have run away from home, and they have willfully disinherited themselves, and we are come in their place, but let us not boast. For we have been given the name of God's people. But oh, let us in faith walk worthy of that name, lest we tempt the Lord to take it from us. 2 Corinthians 6:18. I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And so we can pray legitimately, rightly, our Father, which art in heaven. And he even gives us, when we're struggling with our temptations and our remaining corruption, how frustrating it is, he gives us the Spirit, who groans within us with groanings which cannot be uttered, who says through us to God, Abba, Father. Revelation 3:12. Him that overcometh while I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God. And the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down from heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. Young people, maybe not now, but maybe it wasn't so very long ago when your mother took a Sharpie and wrote on the inside of your jacket your name, your family name. Well, that's because it belongs to you. How easily we can lose these things. But if the name is written in it, we can identify who it belongs to. And so the Lord comforts and assures us that when we go lost, when we feel disordered and out at sea, without a compass, without a rudder, without any wind in our sails, we can look down and we can see the name that the Lord has written upon us. I am your God. You are my child. We've alluded to this already, but the divines write further that these adopted ones receive the spirit of adoption. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Upon whom did the Spirit descend in bodily form? The only begotten Son of God. Upon whom does the Spirit of grace come and seal? Those who are sons and daughters of God. If Christ has the Spirit in its fullness, he gives of his Spirit unto us. A gift he will never take away. Because we are sons, we have access to the throne of grace with boldness. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Romans 5:2, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And that's not an automatic privilege. Very recently, I was chatting with someone who clearly was not walking in the ways of the Lord. And I was told how much that individual was praying during all the struggles and the difficulties and yet she knew she was not pleasing the Lord. Well, you see, it is not a right to come into the presence of God. And if we regard sin in our hearts, the Lord will not hear us. But Christ has given access to us by faith. He welcomes us. He welcomes us into his presence. As we have said, we are enabled to cry, Abba, Father. We are pitied. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. We are protected. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. We are provided for. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He pities you. He protects you. He provides for you. Now, he also does something that we just don't like very often, and that is being chastened. We are chastened by him as a father. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. But never cast off. I love this language, how they give full force to chastening. In other places of the confession, they describe some of the great ordeals through which a child of God is sometimes made to pass through, sometimes walking long in darkness, having no light. But the Lord never casts off his people. Lamentations 3:31, the Lord will not cast off forever. He will try us. He will purge us. Sometimes he will make us to go through the valley of the shadow of death. And we'll see on either side, as Christian and Pilgrim's Progress, the two lions. And we're horrified as we realize we have to go forward. But they're on chains. They're on chains. He never, never, ever casts us off. Even though we deserve it. So oftentimes. He never casts us off, but in fact, he seals us to the day of redemption. Ephesians 4:30. He puts a mark upon us that guarantees. The name is a precious thing that is placed upon us, but this is a seal that guarantees that we are his and we shall ever be with him. We are sealed unto the day of redemption and inherit the promises. Hebrews 6:12. We must not be slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises as heirs of everlasting salvation. We have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. It is the Father's good pleasure, child of God, to give you the kingdom. And you are an heir because you are in Christ, who is the heir of all things. Let us cherish this gift of adoption. Oh, let us cherish this gift of adoption. Let us duly meditate on it. Let us lift up our spirits by it. Let us seek to discern the marks of the true son, the true daughter of God. It is truly the desire of the child to submit to the Father. We heard, did we not, young people, in the catechism class, we are to pray to our Father, thy will be done. And a true child, deep down, notwithstanding the conflictedness of sin and pride and self-will, the true child wants to do her Father's will. Whatever that is. I am thy handmaiden, Lord. May it be unto me according to thy word. Thy will is good, O Heavenly Father, even if it crosses me. Even if the very thing that we have been longing for and hoping for withers, shrivels, and blows away in the wind like chaff. Yet we submit. We submit to his will, knowing that the Father has a much greater inheritance for us. And may we also be encouraged, especially as we draw near to another season of prayer, is to avail ourselves of the access that we have to the throne of grace with boldness. Now, yes, we must be reverent when we come before the Lord, but let us not cower as though we were offenders and rebels. No, we are clean and pure in his sight. There is no spot in us because of Jesus Christ. And we are his children. And what father does not want to have his children come to them? May God add his blessing as we contemplate these high and heavenly realities. And may he, having sealed us to the day of redemption, enable us not to resist the Spirit, but through faith and patience to inherit the promises laid up for us. Amen.